This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Productive Muslim Podcast, Season 4, Episode 6. Assalamu alaikum, Productive Muslims. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Mifa Marif, and here I am with another episode taking your question and answers. So these are the questions that you've submitted to us via our website. So if you're still unsure on how this works, it's just pretty much you. Head over to our podcast website, productivemuslimpodcast.com, and you scroll down to a section where it says leave your questions. So you can leave your questions through a voicemail feature. So you get your microphone out or the microphone on your laptop and you just record away your questions. So from there, we can be able to take some of your questions and get them answered on the show. So in this episode, we're going to be taking on one question, since it's a question that we have been receiving a lot. And I have with me again, Muhammad Faris. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Keep on. So he'll be joining us.
When I say that.
Yeah, it's like at the start of the episode, it's always like our tongue gets tied and stuff like that. But, you know, once we get into it and start answering the questions, it's like...
Bismillah.
Start. All right. So we will start with our first question. And, okay, this question is from Faraz. And I'll just play that right now.
Hello, assalamu alaikum. My question is regarding Fajr and sleep and waking up on time for work. So during the summer here in England, the time for Isha is quite late. So it's around about 11 o'clock. Fajr is about 3 o'clock in the morning, lasts until about 4:30. And then I have to wake up at 6:30. And the problem I have is after I've slept after Isha and I wake up for Fajr, I find it very difficult to go back to sleep because I've woken up, I've done wudu, and I need to sleep because if I was to wake up after Isha, if I was to go to sleep and then wake up for Fajr, that means that I've only got about 4 hours sleep, and that's just not enough for me to function through the day. What advice do you guys have regarding this? Jazakallah khair.
Okay, great questions. We get it a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
And again, and regardless of where you are in the world, whether you get extremes like the one in the UK in terms of the summertime extremes, or if you are also in a place that doesn't have such extremes in terms of the timings of Fajr and Isha, I think inshallah ta'ala will be helpful and useful to you as well to learn. So I think there's a few things to keep in mind before we get into the sort of practicalities of it. The first thing is also it's a mindset issue. Sometimes we make something a problem just by thinking it's a problem. For example, if I think, oh my God, I only have 4 hours of sleep, I'm going to die the rest of the day, then guess what? You will suffer the rest of the day. You will
That's true.
You will think, oh my God, I can't do this, it's so hard. And just keep on repeating that to yourself, like, oh my God, it's impossible. Now, I'm not belittling the challenge. I understand the challenge. I lived in the UK. I know the challenge of having sort of 11 o'clock Ishas and 3 o'clock Fajrs. It's a matter of how you approach it. You approach something, say, this is a challenge, or this is a challenge that I'm willing to take on head on. This is something, it's almost like I'm challenging myself. How well will I function in this period? The second thing to keep in mind is that this is just temporary. I mean, our UK brothers and sisters, you guys have amazing winters as well, where Isha is like 7 p.m. and Fajr is like 7 p.m. as well. So 7 a.m., sorry. So you guys also have, when no one complains about sleep during that time. I get zero questions around that time. We're like, hey, actually things are really cool for us. So no, this is just a phase. It's 3 months that will pass. So it's saying it's not something that's consistent throughout the year. That is extremely difficult throughout the year, unless you live in like Antarctica or some other place where, you know, 6 months of the year you are struggling for that period. But normally, for most people in most places, it's a temporary challenge. So keep that in mind. That A, your mindset should say this is not a problem or issue. It's a challenge. I agree. And B, it's temporary. With that in mind, let's talk practical. So what I recommend people to do is to sleep according to their sleep cycles. Now, if you haven't heard about sleep cycles before, it's a very simple concept. It just says that most human beings take about 90 minutes. So most human beings sleep in multiples of 90 minutes. So for example, if I sleep at 11 o'clock at night, or let's say 11:30, so Aisha is 11, so let's say 11:30 you sleep, how many 90 minutes sleep cycles can you fit in between 11:30 till let's say 4 o'clock in the morning? So you say, okay, you know what? From 11:30, 90 minutes means it's going to be, help me here, Mifra. It's going to be what? It's going to be 1 a.m. It's going to be 1 a.m. from putting the spot there. From 1 a.m., you put another 90 minutes is what?
Okay, I got it. 2:30.
2:30, excellent. And from 2:30, 2:30, the next one is what?
4 o'clock.
Perfect. So that means you've had 3 full sleep cycles. Now, here's the trick of the game. If you wake up at the end of your third, at the end of any of these sleep cycles, whether at 11, like 1 o'clock in the morning or 2:30 or even 4 o'clock, you would have completed full sleep cycles, which means you'd feel quite rested. It's like you had a really good nap, right? Now, of course, the more sleep cycles you have, the better, right? So there's no argument that. So if you have 4 sleep cycles, 5 sleep cycles, your body rests more. Having said that, even having 3 sleep cycles, you'd wake up at the end of these sleep cycles feeling that, you know that feeling of grogginess and you're like, oh man, I can't be bothered to wake up. That happens because you are waking up in the middle of your sleep cycle. Your alarm's going off when you are in deep, deep sleep mode. But if you wake up towards the end of your sleep cycles, you'd wake up feeling much more, alert, less tired, less groggy, and you'll be able to function throughout the day. So that's one advice. So make sure you sleep according to sleep cycles. The second piece of advice is try to add multiple naps in your day, especially if Aisha is that late and Fajr is that early. So what I recommend, for example, after sunrise, let's say sunrise, you said it's 4:30 in the morning and you have till 6:30 before you have to get up for work. Instead of saying, I need to sleep more, say, I'm going to take a nap. It could be a 20-minute nap, a 40-minute nap, or a full sleep cycle, a 1.5 nap. So think about taking a sleep cycle that is, try to take a nap maybe after sunrise till before you go to work, and then take another nap at work around dhuhr time. So take another, but maybe this time you can't do full 1.5, you'll get fired as well otherwise. Do 20 minutes, right? Do 20 minutes. A nap, do a 40-minute nap if you can squeeze that much in. Oh, but just 20 minutes should be enough. And you'll find that with these tips, you have 3 full sleep cycles at night. You can squeeze in a nap after sunrise, so before you get to work, and another nap in the afternoon. And possibly, if you really need it, one more nap after you come back from work, you'll be able to function pretty well. You'll be doing well. And if it's not Ramadan, you have good old coffee to keep you going as well, but don't have coffee after 2 p.m. because that's going to mess up your whole sleep cycles. But otherwise, you'll do well. I mean, you'll be able to, these 3 months won't be too bad for you. And last but not least is remember that you are being rewarded for the extra effort you put in just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting a test. It's creating these test conditions for you. You know what? I'm going to squeeze the night for you. I'm going to spread the day for you. Now show me how you're going to cope with this. And you're saying, well, Allah, I accept this challenge and I'm going to do my best to take on this challenge. And sometimes Ramadan comes in summer as well, which is a different story altogether. But that's a test condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating for you. So take it as a test. And by applying the practical tips, you'll find it much more useful. Inshallah. I'm losing my voice now. Okay, I'm drinking something. Okay.
Yeah. So on that with sleep, I mean, one thing that we hear a lot is like how it's good to have like say 7 to 8 hours sleep, like an adult is recommended to have that much. And then you see how there's all this talk about the dangers of not sleeping a lot and stuff like that. So then, I mean, how would you actually reconcile that? Like, I know that this question is a bit on a tangent, but still related to our topic. But my question is, how would you reconcile that with when we look towards like what Islam, like what I mean by that is like, say we want to be a really good Muslim. So we're like, hey, I want to wake up for the Hajj. I want to pray the Hajj, I want to pray Fajr, I want to recite Quran until sunset and then get the reward of like Hajj and Umrah and, you know, all those like good deeds. And then how do we kind of reconcile that with like sleeping? Because the thing is, obviously, if you were trying to do that, then you won't be able to get much sleep.
Good question. Good question. And it comes down to how we perceive sleep or what's the intention behind sleeping.
Yeah.
If I see sleep as the be all end all, and that the purpose of my sleep is to help me be to rest really well so that I can become super alert and awake the rest of my day, then that's one intention for sleep. Or if you see sleep as a means of getting closer to Allah, as a means like I'm going to take from sleep what I need to then get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing is with food, for example, right?
Okay.
You can have a really full meal, eat every day, and say, oh, I'm going to eat every day and I'm going to keep myself full and healthy and eat all the stuff. Or you can deprive yourself sometimes with fasting or eat little so that it doesn't affect your worship. And so sometimes if we see sleep or food or any of Allah's blessings as a means towards worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it corrects that concept of saying, okay, this is the means I'm going to take to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me see how much, given the scenario that I have, given the conditions that I have, how much of that blessings will I take so that I can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we use this blessing, sleep, food, any of our blessings, and we overindulge in them, sometimes they turn against them because these blessings will turn against us. These blessings become something that will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't wake up for Fajr, we don't do our responsibilities correctly. Now, there is that, of course, the other argument as well, that your body has a right upon you. Your spouse has a right upon you. Your Rabb has a right upon you. Your family has a right upon you. The work you've signed is a right upon you. So how do you reconcile these things? And this is where the idea of, if I'm fulfilling the rights of those who are around me, my family, my work, my children, and then above and beyond that, I fulfill the rights of my Lord as well, and I want to go extra after that, then go for it. And this is from the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu did not stay for tahajjud every single night. He used to get up very often, but Aisha radiallahu anha said that sometimes he would sleep that I think that he'd never prayed the whole night, and sometimes he would never sleep, I think that he'd never slept the whole night. So he showed us both ways of doing things. So, and that's why when he told one of his companions, Abu Darda, when one of the companions went to see Abu Darda and he noticed Abu Darda was not sleeping, he was praying all night, he was fasting all day, he told him, eat and sleep because your Rabb has a right upon you, your body has a right upon you, your family has a right upon you, your guests have a right upon you. Give each one their due right. So from bringing these two arguments together, think about it from this two perspective. Number one is, there are rights and responsibilities upon me as a human being and as a Muslim. As long as I'm fulfilling these rights, now the question is, okay, I've got extra hours. So maybe in the summer, it's very hard for you to, you can barely wake up for tahajjud because time is tight and you need that sleep to be functioning the rest of the day. But let's say in the winter where you have lots of hours and you can sleep for 12 hours, but you kind of hold yourself. And that's why some of the Sahaba said that the winter is the spring of the believer because the nights are long and the days are short. And that's because you can fast the other day and pray at night and still it's not too hard for you. So there, when you have extra hours, you know what? I'm going to go out the extra mile. I'm going to worship a lot extra mile here because now I'm going to, the blessing of having extra hours of sleep, instead of sleeping, I'm going to save some of that to for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that way, the verse when it says, describing people of Jannah, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهَجْعُونَ, they used to sleep, but little of the night. It's not that they used to sleep. They used to sleep. So Allah is saying, these people used to sleep. People of Jannah used to sleep, but little of the night. So they used to get up some of that little of the night. And the question is, how little? So that's why in Surah Muzammil, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people get up sometimes for one third of the night, sometimes half, sometimes less than half, sometimes more than half. But then Allah says, فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ, whatever is easier for you, like whatever you're able to do. To this is a huge blessing, because otherwise, if he said every night tahajjud, everyone struggled as Muslims. So Allah has said, make it easy. If, so if you're able, if you wake up 10 minutes before Fajr, pray one rak'ah or just three rak'ahs and say, that's my qiyam for now. And then in the winter, when you have more hours, you can pray two, three, four. That's the balance you need to appreciate and bring in. So I hope this kind of clarifies that.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty much like what you're saying is like, so having discussed sleep and seeing it as a mindset and seeing it more as a means to an end. And then secondly, figuring out, okay, is this the right time to do it now? In a, what I mean by that is like, first of all, you look at all the rights that you're giving to the people around you and the things that you have to give rights to first. And then you go look at, okay, am I in a position to go pray tahajjud?
Do and extra, gives, push myself.
Yeah, to do extra.
And this way iman comes in. Some people, mashallah, they're able to go above that. They have such piety that they will not miss fajr no matter what happens, right? But then at the same time, if they are praying tahajjud, but then they're like sleeping on their day job, there's a challenge.
Then that's not giving right to the job.
Employees, they signed a contract with the employees. Yeah. The employee has a right upon them, because this is a right of ibad, right of the creation, and that will be something on the, it'll be a court case on their judgment. So that's why it's you have to be very conscious of the rights and responsibilities upon you and everything, even in Islam. So you can't say, okay, I'll forget Fajr because then I have to work next day. No, that, because Fajr is an obligation, then that becomes a right. You have to fulfill that. But whenever it comes to extra acts of worship, you ask yourself, okay, how is that balancing? And you know yourself, if you use that as excuse to not push yourself harder, then you're just using you know, these arguments as excuse. Oh, I need to be better at work, so let me forget tahajjud, let me forget fasting because it's not essential, it's just sunnah, you know, stuff like that. You should always push yourself harder. You should always try yourself to improve yourself. And what I've noticed, and this is something absolutely crazy, but in crazy, that sometimes when you do these little sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you go the extra mile for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's reading one juz of Quran, whether it's fasting on a day you feel like you shouldn't be fast because you have that big presentation, or they wake up for the Qiyam al-Layl, and even for half an hour, the amount of barakah that comes in your day, the amount of things that open up for you that day, and that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he beautifully attracts you towards his acts of worship, because even though it's not, you know, you can say logically it's not the best thing for me to do now,
yeah,
sometimes doing them brings in the spiritual divine goodness, which is called barakah, that completely transforms your life. And that's why people don't get hooked on them. So that's why some people say, you know what, I don't want to sacrifice Qiyam al-Layl no matter what happens, and I'll try my best to fulfill the rights of those who are around me as well at the same time.
Do you have an example of that happening in your own life?
Oh goodness. What I've been doing when I was in corporate world, whenever I had a big presentation, something that I know will, like, my career depends on, I would fast that day. I would make it a fasting habit that day. And every single time I've done that, it's unbelievable how Allah opens doors from where I did not expect. So that has been a practice that I felt helped a lot in my own personal life, where if I have a big presentation, there's one time where I had a presentation where basically I was blasting the top management for I did a report. I was just presenting the report, but I was like the messenger. So I was blasting the top management on this. And I remember that meeting was rough, was tough. But because I was fasting that day, I almost felt like protected. Like, what can happen to me, right? Literally, I felt protected from that. And it really helped boost my confidence. Really helped me present in a very sort of, you know, sincere way. Like, I did not mean to attack management. I just want to give sincere advice. I knew this will help management as well. And the consequences of that meeting was actually much more positive than I thought it would be. And I think that comes from the bismillah barakah of doing that. So a lot of times whenever I had situations where almost like I know that things depend on things going right, I would actually fasting, or, you know, really helps to give that spiritual boost. As I say, barakah is the secret sauce of Muslims. It's literally our secret weapon, because this is the way. One of Sheikh Sha'rawi, one of the famous Mufassirin of Quran, said that barakah is like the subtle soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come in and just do their work without even knowing you realize what's happening. And those soldiers are called upon when you're in a position, when you're fascinated in Qiyam al-Layl, when you're close to Allah Ta'ala. And that's why it's such a powerful, important part of being productive, which is to call on this. You want the soldiers on your side, basically, and make sure that you get things done and help you get things done for you, inshallah.
Yeah. That story of fasting reminds me of something I did with an exam that I had. So on that day, I think I had like two exams on that day. And then I was like, look, I should fast. So then I fasted. And I think one of my motivation of fasting was like, if I were to look at the timings between it and having to pray in between it, I don't know if I have time to eat. So I was like, you know what? But hey, you know, then like when you're actually fasting, you think of like a good intention, like okay, I'm going to fast. Mm. But the good thing was that I actually got top of my class for both of them.
Inshallah. Awesome. And there's so many stories like this. So many like, stories. Like, absolutely.
It's like that barakah that comes out of.
Yeah, and that's why sometimes when it comes to sleep, I would tell the people, hey, I mean, I know that sometimes scientifically we should sleep 7-8 hours and all that, but there's a hidden element that we're not talking about, that's just barakah. Maybe the idea of,
it's hard to ignore that.
It's hard. You shouldn't ignore it, but sometimes we get so caught up with the, because we've been trained in the sort of the scientific method where if I cannot feel it, touch it, sense, smell it, sense it, that means it doesn't exist. But we know, backed by hadith, backed by Quran, if we truly believe in the final divine message to mankind, and we know that barakah exists, and we know there is a powerful force, then we should be, you know, sacrificing sleep for the sake of Qiyam al-Layl. And Allah tells you that it's good for you. But he's saying that, you know, if you do this, he's saying it's really good for you. You should be doing this. And you're like, nah, I feel like I should sleep an extra 10, an hour, 2 hours. And he's telling it's good for you because he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be the best and to give us that support and aid that we need to achieve things in our life, basically.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's like, it's something that when you try it and you sincerely go in with the right intention, like you feel the barakah, it's something that you have to live it. Absolutely. You have to feel it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't be explained. All right. So this actually brings us to the end of our episode. So is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think we covered a lot about how to nap, how to sleep, practical advice. And again, recommend if you want to learn more, we have an entire course on how to wake up early and have an amazing morning routine. It's part of Productive Muslim Academy, which is our online platform. We have all these amazing courses that are practical, but also backed by Quran, Sunnah, and latest science. So check it out if you want to learn more practical advice on how to connect Islam to just your personal life and to basically wake up early and live a be productive human being.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us, Muhammad. Inshallah, we'll see you again soon.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Woke up with the light, a sky so